Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writes in his spiritual classic, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that even if Ananda Shesha, with 1,000 mouths, were to extol the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the entire span of the universal creation, he could not sufficiently describe the pastimes that Lord Chaitanya performed in even one day. This is not an exaggeration. The Lord can thread an elephant through the eye of a needle. The Lord can manifest unlimited universes through a simple, single exhalation. This is the inconceivable powers of God. Small-minded people, when they hear that the Lord performs amazing activities that are incredible and unfathomable to the human intelligence, they believe it to be mythology, something that is just symbolically created in the minds of man to bring about some faith or some moral lessons in the faithful people's hearts. But to understand God, one must understand Achintya Shakti, his inconceivable potencies. There is nothing that God cannot do. One time someone challenged Prabhupada with a classic challenge of an atheist. Can a tree fall down in a forest? What was it?
Can a God make a mountain? Can he make a mountain?
Ah, yes. Can God make a rock that he cannot lift? Because if he can't make a rock that he cannot lift, then there's something he can't do. Yes? Srila Prabhupada said, yes. God can make a rock that he cannot lift, but then he'll lift it. Krishna can do anything. But the most beautiful thing for the heart of a devotee is when the Lord descends into this world by his mercy and appears to mix amongst human beings as one of us. And even takes roles sometimes subordinate to his devotees. His Herculean tasks, not Herculean, how can we say? His unbelievable, unimaginable tasks of creation and his various avatars of lifting the earth with his nose, those bring about wonder, the wonder of love within the heart of a devotee. When Krishna is crying, fearful of the punishment of Mother Yashoda, that melts the heart of a devotee. Krishna appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took sannyas. Sannyas is an order of life of renunciation. The Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He's the proprietor of all opulences. Everything is the property of God. And a sannyasi is one who's not allowed to own anything. Hare Krishna. Does this sound like a contradiction? The proprietor of everything takes a vow not to possess anything? That is Krishna. But he does it simply to reach out to us, to reach our hearts by his love and by his mercy. Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord, the Upanishads describe he can move faster than the speed of mind. He's within the heart of every living being. But yet, as a simple sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya was walking barefoot from holy place to holy place. Although he's Vishwambar, he's providing nourishment that is the subsistence of every living being. He's going house to house begging for alms with a little begging bowl. Although he's the husband of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who provides the wealth for all wealthy men and women, he doesn't have a home. As he's traveling in South India, he's sleeping on the ground, under trees, and bathing in rivers and lakes. Just to reach the common people with the message of love of God. It is to this Lord that we bow our heads with unlimited gratitude. Lord Chaitanya came to Sri Rangam in the year 1510. Where we bathe today, in the Kaveri River, the Lord took his bath. Kaveri River is one of the seven holiest rivers on earth. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the incarnation of both Radha and Krishna in one form, when he bathed in that river, it became supremely holy forever. Then he came to Ranganath Temple and saw this ancient worshipful deity, which has been served with love and devotion since the time before history can record. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great jubilation, offered his prayers and obeisances to Lord Ranganath. And then in the temple courtyard, he danced and chanted Hare Krishna mantra. And people were so much struck with wonder to see the beauty of the Lord that they were coming from all directions just to see him. His beautiful golden complexion. He was the very personification of spiritual love. Tears of compassion pouring from his eyes. And when he chanted the holy name, it was like an ocean of nectar pouring from his mouth, drowning everyone. Soon there were dozens of people chanting with him, then hundreds, then thousands. Hundreds and thousands of people from all over the southern provinces of India were coming to Sri Ranga just to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he said, Hari Bol, the soul stirred with such enthusiasm that naturally people raised their arms, their feet began to dance, and their tongues cried out Krishna's holy name. On the very first day, thousands and thousands of people were chanting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the temple, inundated with the ecstasies of Krishna's mercy. When the kirtan ended, one very simple, pure-hearted Brahmin from a family of the pujaris of this temple invited Lord Chaitanya to his home for prasad. His name, Venkata Bhatt. From the temple of Sri Ranganath, Lord Chaitanya was escorted to Venkata Bhatta's house. We were there last night in our Nam Sankirtan. Venkata Bhatta washed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, then took that water and sprinkled it on his head and sprinkled it on all his family members' heads. That holy Charanamrit, the foot wash of the Lord, was then drunk by Venkata Bhatta, and he served it to all of his family members. He had two brothers, Trimala Bhatt and Prabodhananda Saraswati. And he had one small boy, a child, whose name was Gopal. When Gopal drank the foot wash of Lord Chaitanya and saw the beautiful form of the Lord, he fell to the ground in love with the Lord. He offered his heart, his soul, his everything to the Lord at that very moment just by tasting the sweetness of the water that washed his feet. The Lord glanced upon little Gopal with such deep affection. Gopal's heart became the Lord's property. Lord Chaitanya would every day take his bath in Kaveri. Actually, Venkata Bhatta, after greeting the Lord in this way, offered the Lord wonderful prasad. And after the prasad, he made an appeal with so much sincere devotion. He prayed to the Lord that just now the rainy season is to begin. And it is the tradition of a sannyasi to not travel during the 4 months called Chaturmasya. So please bestow the ultimate fortune upon my household and remain with us for the 4 months of the rainy season. Day and night, my Lord, please tell us about Krishna and chant his holy names with us. That is my one and only desire. The Lord does not simply hear what we say, but he hears the intention of our heart when we speak. Because Venkata Bhatta more than anything else in all of creation, wanted to serve the Lord and discuss Krishna with him for 4 continuous months, the Lord accepted. Now please understand, that's not a small thing. Venkata Bhatt had a small house, and he's inviting Lord Chaitanya to stay for 4 months with such love. Lord Chaitanya simply could not refuse. Because when a devotee makes an offering with pure love, the Lord, by his own sweet will, has no power to refuse the loving offering of a devotee. We know in Hastinapur, when Bidura's wife was so nervous, Krishna came unexpectedly. It is said that all she had in the house was a banana, and in her nervousness she peeled the banana, threw the banana out, and gave Krishna the peel. But she did it with such love. You think Krishna likes banana peels? Do you like banana peels? Krishna could not refuse it because it was offered with love. He ate the whole banana peel and he loved it. It tasted billions of times sweeter than all the ghee saturated preparations of Duryodhana, which were not offered with such simplicity and love. So yes, Venkata Bhatta was a pure-hearted soul, and Lord Chaitanya accepted. I will remain in your home for the next 4 months. Every day he would bathe in the river Kaveri, and then he would come to the temple and perform his Nam Sankirtan and induce the pilgrims from all directions to accept the path of pure love of God. In fact, it is said that at that time, everyone in Srirangam could not speak anything except the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Such power the Lord had that no one could talk about anything, no one could speak about anything, no one could sing anything except Krishna's holy names. One beautiful story took place here in Srirangam. It is well known. However, very purifying to speak and hear this story in the very place where it has taken place. There was a simple, illiterate Brahmin that would sit in the temple of Ranganath and every day read aloud the entire 18 chapters of Sri Bhagavad Gita. But because he was more or less illiterate, his pronunciation was not correct. At that time, Sri Rangam was the high seat of learning for the greatest scholars of the Vedas in all of South India. The Brahmins would hear his pronunciation. They couldn't believe it. What are you doing here? Why are you reading like this in a public place? You're just making a fool out of yourself. They would laugh at him. They would criticize him, ridicule him, condemn him. All these pundits were gathered in the same place, chanting slokas like the raging wind in perfect pronunciation with perfect meter. And here he was just very clumsily stumbling over each syllable. But as he was reading, he was in ecstatic love. Tears were pouring from his eyes, his hair stood on end, and his limbs trembled, and he was perspiring like a madman. As he was... He couldn't say things right. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day witnessed this Brahman. He was very pleased in his heart. He asked the Brahman, "What is it that is awakening such ecstatic love from your heart? Please tell me which portion of Bhagavad Gita you are meditating on. What part do you like best?" The Brahman, with great humility, spoke from his heart that actually I am illiterate. I do not even know what I'm reading. I don't even know what any of these words mean. Sometimes I pronounce it right, sometimes I pronounce it wrong. I do not even know the difference. And people are criticizing me and laughing at me, but I do not care, because my spiritual master has given me an instruction that every day I should sit here and read the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And I'm trying to please him by executing his order. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir. The Svetasvataro Upanishad declares that one who has implicit faith in both the spiritual master and Krishna, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. Herein, the great acharyas explain that you cannot understand Bhagavad Gita or any holy scripture by scholarship, by Sanskrit mastery, or by any type of academic prowess. We can only understand the scriptures by faith and devotion. And here we have an example of a person who couldn't even understand the words he was saying, but he was experiencing ecstatic love. Why? Because he had faith in his guru. And he had sincere desire to serve the order of his guru. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "If you cannot understand, then tell me, what is it that you're contemplating as you're reading the Gita?" And the Brahman said, "As I'm reading, in my heart, I see a picture, and I'm meditating on that picture. I see a chariot in Kurukshetra. On that chariot is Arjuna. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has taken the reins of that chariot to be the driver for Arjuna. With his reins in his hands, he's very dark in complexion and beautiful. That beautiful form of the Lord is instructing Arjuna in these teachings. And as I am reciting Bhagavad Gita, I am immersed totally in seeing that beautiful form of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you are an authority of the true teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. You have understood perfectly. What is the purpose of Gita? Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim na namaskuru. This is the conclusion of all the 700 verses of Gita. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Because of this Brahman's humble effort to execute the order of his guru, because of his sincerity and his simplicity, Krishna revealed his eternal form to him whenever he would pick up the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, he perfected his life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and the Brahman began to cry. Then the Brahman, he said, when I remember Krishna, I cry in transcendental ecstasy. But now that I'm seeing you, my happiness is doubling. So I can understand without doubt that you are Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, what you are saying is correct. But do not tell anyone the secret. The ultimate perfection of all spiritual practices was attained by this illiterate Brahman by simply trying to serve his Guru Maharaj. And for the entire 4 months that Lord Chaitanya was at Sri Rangam, this Brahman was the constant associate of the Lord. A great lesson to be learned. In the house of Venkatabhat, little Gopal, who was only 4 or 5 years old, he had such a spontaneous love for Lord Chaitanya. And with his father's blessings, he was Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. He would massage the Lord's feet. He would wash the Lord's vessels. He would bring things, little things for the Lord, as a very menial servant. And each day, his love was growing deeper and deeper and deeper. One day, Gopal was lamenting in his heart, why am I suffering this terrible misfortune of having to see Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi? I was not blessed with the sight of the Lord as he lived in Navadvip, with his beautiful, long, flowing hair and his wonderful ornaments, with his beloved consort, Vishnupriya, and his loving mother, Sachi Devi, where he was living, accepting so many wonderful offerings from his devotees. Why am I so cursed? I could not see that moon of Navadvip, Navadvip Chandra. And I have to see the Lord with a shaved head, with saffron robes, begging for food, sleeping on the floor. Oh, Gopal was weeping and crying. This went on for many days. On one such day, he happened to fall asleep. And he had a vision. In the vision, he was in Navadvip. And there were thousands of people in Nam Sankirtan loudly chanting the holy name. And in the middle was Lord Chaitanya, along with Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhar, Srivas, and all of his confidential associates. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his beautiful moon-like face, which was resplendent like molten gold, was encircled by long locks of hair that was the essence of all beauty. Gopal Bhatta, mesmerized, gazed upon the beautiful form of the Lord. And the Lord showered unlimited mercy on that little boy. Suddenly, the dream broke, and he woke up, and he was feeling such intense anxiety that that dream had ended, that the little boy ran to the next room where Lord Chaitanya was sitting and fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya was sitting with his saffron robes, shaved head, his kamandalu, japa beads. The boy clasped his feet. And when he looked up, the Lord transformed into Navadvip Chandra with golden dhoti and beautiful ornaments and long cascading hair flowing like nectar. Beautiful garland extending below his knees. Gopal Bhatta, seeing Navadvip Chandra in his own house, he fell to the ground unconscious. And then he looked up, and Navadvip Chandra transformed into Shamsundar. He had complexion dark like a monsoon cloud. He had beautiful lotus-like eyes, a peacock feather, like a rainbow was decorating his beautiful crowned head. He was standing in a threefold bending form and playing upon his flute, gazing upon little Gopal. Again, Gopal fell to the ground unconscious in ecstasy. And when he looked up, Lord Chaitanya was in his sannyasi form. All of Gopal Bhatta's desires were fulfilled. He understood with full experience the true identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya spoke to him. He said, Gopal, what you have seen, you should not reveal to anyone. You keep it secret. He said, you remain here under the care of your mother and father. They are my very dear and pure devotees. You should remain in the service of your mother and father as long as they live. And in the meanwhile, you should accept as your spiritual master your uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati, and thoroughly learn the holy scriptures from him. And you should always remember Krishna and keep Krishna's name always within your heart. And when your parents pass away from this world to enter my eternal abode, then you should renounce everything and travel to Vrindavan and become the intimate friend and brother of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Gopal Bhatta took those instructions as his very life and soul. And keeping it like the supreme treasure locked within his heart, he kept this vision a secret. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was transforming hundreds and thousands of people's lives as he was doing his Nam Sankirtan in Sri Rangam. And at the house, he developed such a loving friendship with Venkatabhat. Venkatabhat was a great pure devotee of Lakshmi Narayan. And Lord Chaitanya deeply appreciated his love and devotion for the Lord. Over a course of time, they developed such a friendly relationship. They would discuss Krishna for hours and hours and hours together. They would eat together, and sometimes they would joke together. One day, in a very joking spirit, Lord Chaitanya said to Venkatabhat, "You are a pure devotee of Lord Narayan. And Lakshmi Devi is eternally residing on the chest of Lord Narayan. But my Lord is Krishna. He is a simple cowherd boy. I have a question for you. Why does Lakshmi leave Narayan, leave Vaikuntha, and perform austerities and penances in order to enter into Krishna's pastimes?" And he quoted a beautiful verse to confirm that this is the truth. Venkatabhata, he said, "That is not for any fault of Lakshmi. She's perfectly chaste and perfectly faithful to her husband, Narayan. Because Krishna and Narayan are the same person. They are identical. There is no difference between Krishna and Narayan. The only difference is Narayan, when he's Krishna, his pastimes are more sportive. And therefore they're very, very attractive. They're very sweet and nectarine. And naturally Lakshmi wants to participate in those pastimes. So there's no fault in Lakshmi. She has no fault whatsoever. She has every right to play in her husband's pastimes as Krishna." Lord Chaitanya said, "I know there's no fault. I agree that she's perfectly chaste. But my question to you is, why, although she left Narayan and left Vaikuntha and she's performing all these austerities, she wasn't allowed into Krishna's Rasa Leela?" And he quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam of the Nagapatnis. "How fortunate Kaliya is that Krishna is dancing on his hoods
And even Lakshmi Devi, after performing long, long years of tapasya, cannot get the lotus feet of Krishna. What to speak of entrance into Rasleela. In Vrindavan, there is a place called Belvan, where Lakshmi Devi, on the other side of Yamuna, was performing tapasya for long, long years, but she could not get entrance into the Rasleela. Lord Chaitanya said, no doubt she's chaste, but why she can't enter into the Rasa-lila? Venkata Bhatta said, this is a very deep subject matter. And I am just a very ordinary common man, and I do not understand these things. It's too high above me. I do not know, but you are the Lord. You know, so you tell me. And Lord Chaitanya explained that the personified Vedas and the authorities of the Vedic literatures, they were allowed to enter the Rasleela, but Lakshmi was not. What is the reason? Because one can only enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes if one follows in the footsteps of the gopis. There is no other way. In Krishna's pastimes, they don't know him as the Supreme Lord. The love of Vaikuntha is everyone is fully recognizing that Lord Narayan is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes, and the master of everyone. He is the proprietor of everything that exists and the controller of all controllers. But in Vrindavan, they only know Krishna as the darling son of Nanda Maharaj, and they don't know anything else. Their love for him is so sweet and so intimate that they never think of him as God. They never think of him as all-powerful. They love him as a friend or a son or a lover. When Krishna wrestles with his devotees, the cowherd boys, he's defeated. And in defeat, to show everyone that he has been conquered, he carries the cowherd boy on his shoulders. Now, this is a game that for most people it would be embarrassing. When you're defeated by someone, you show everyone you're defeated by carrying the victorious opponent upon your shoulders, like a horse. Yes? You ride on me because you have defeated me. I am subordinate to you. Krishna is carrying the gopas on his shoulders to show his defeat. And Mother Yashoda, out of her natural love, she's binding Krishna with the rope of his love, and he's a prisoner. And he's crying, confessing, "Oh, dear Mother, I'm sorry I broke the butter pot. Please don't punish me. Please put down your stick. Don't hurt me." And the Braj Gopis, they cannot dance with the Supreme Lord Narayan. But they dance freely with Krishna because they see him as the son of Nanda Maharaj. When Krishna took the clothes of gopis while they were bathing in Jamuna, they were shivering cold. And they threatened Krishna, "If you do not give us back, we will tell Nanda Maharaj on you." Now that was a serious threat. And they really thought that Krishna would have to submit to that threat. "We will tell your father, Nanda Maharaj, what you have done." And Krishna said, Nanda Maharaj is an old man. What can he do to me? This is Braj Vrindavan Chandra. Lord Chaitanya explained to Venkata Bhat how, although they do not understand Krishna's opulence, and they are not at all aware that he's the Supreme Lord, he's the center of everyone's life. Why? Because he's so attractive. He totally conquers their hearts with his love, with his beauty, with his sweetness. Lord Chaitanya said that Krishna has four special qualities that make him all attractive. That even other aspects of his own self, like Narayan and Ram, do not possess. And that is the exquisite beauty of his form. His most intimate pastimes. His loving, spontaneous relationships with his devotees. And the sweet, melodious song of his flute. Ete chang shakala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. That the Absolute Truth is one, and that Absolute Truth has many expansions, plenary expansions and incarnations, but Krishna is the fountainhead of all. Because he possesses all of opulences in their completeness, with all sweetness. Then Lord Chaitanya gave an example. He said, how is it that Lakshmi is performing tapasya to try to see Krishna, but she can't do it? She can't reach that destination. But the gopis, even when they see Lord Narayan, they're not very moved. And he gives the example during the Vasant Ras at Govardhan. Krishna was hiding from gopis. Gopis in deep separation were searching for Krishna. And they were going down a path, asking the trees, asking the peacocks, asking the birds, asking the sky and the clouds, have you seen the son of Nanda Maharaj? And ultimately, Krishna was seen in a distance, sitting under a tree. It appeared that he was caught. So the gopis ran to where he was, and Krishna disguised himself by manifesting two extra arms. He manifested the form of Narayan, holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. Now please understand, the form of Narayan is unlimitedly beautiful. It's unlimitedly attractive. But for the gopis who tasted the sweetness of Krishna, when they saw Narayan, they bowed their heads, and they asked for one benediction. Can you tell us which way Krishna went? And Krishna, with his four arms, pointed, he went this way. So they said, Dandavat Narayan, Om Namo Narayan Narayan, Dandavat. They all bowed their heads with great reverence, and then they ran to find Krishna. And then Srimati Radharani was coming, and he manifested this form. And she bowed down. Have you seen Krishna? And in the presence of Radharani's supreme love, although he tried, with great effort to maintain this disguise. In the presence of Sri Radhika, two of his arms just melted away. And his flute manifested in his hands. Shri Radharani ki jai.
So Lord Chaitanya was explaining, in order to enter into the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, one must become a humble servant and follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Although Lakshmi Devi wanted to enter the Rasleela, she was not willing to give up her identity as the all-opulent goddess of fortune. She wasn't willing to milk cows and carry cow dung on her head and churn butter and assist the gopis in doing all these types of chores. She wanted to retain her position as the goddess of fortune. When Venkatabhata was hearing these things, he was becoming very bewildered. And Lord Chaitanya saw this. So Lord Chaitanya smiled. He said, "Actually, Venkatabhata, I'm simply joking with you. Nothing but that. I'm only joking with you. Because according to the scriptures, the truth is that there is no difference between Narayan and Krishna. They are one and the same Supreme Person. And according to one's relationship, whatever that may be, that devotee is completely satisfied with that relationship. So there's no reason for you to be in any anxiety." And Venkatabhata, he said, "I know one thing. You are the Supreme Lord Krishna. And whatever you tell me is fine. And now my love for Krishna has awakened. And I will follow your... I will follow your teachings." And from that day on, Venkatabhata, he absolutely perfected his pure devotional service to Lakshmi Narayan by following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, and by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, developing love of Krishna and constantly tasting the sweetness of his holy name. Fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accept him as the Lord of his life. Can you imagine how many pastimes Lord Chaitanya performed here in a period of 4 months? But what is recorded in the revealed scriptures is only this much, what I have spoken today. As the 4 months were coming closer to an end, Venkatabhata, his son Gopal, Prabodhananda, and Trimalabhata, their hearts were in deep anguish, thinking that that fateful day is drawing nearer when the Lord is going to leave our home. As Lord Chaitanya was living at the home with them, they were tasting the sweet
pastimes of Vrindavan day and night in the association of the Lord. It was an unbearable thought. After 4 months with Sri Gauranga, it was impossible for them to even imagine living without him. And they were discussing with one another, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? What? They were really suffering in the ecstasy of love. And they were begging Lord Chaitanya to stay forever. Begging him not to ever leave their home. When the rainy season ended, they were weeping and crying and begging the Lord not to go. And ultimately, when the Lord said goodbye, they all fell unconscious. Then Venkatabhata, when he came back to consciousness, he renounced his house, his family, his pujari services, everything, and followed Lord Chaitanya. But it doesn't end there. He followed Lord Chaitanya a long distance. And then Lord Chaitanya turned to him and said, Venkatabhata, you must return home. Perform your duties to your family. Always remember Krishna. I will always be with you. And little Gopal Bhatta, can you imagine the anguish of separation, weeping, crying? He was unconscious for a long time when Lord Chaitanya walked out that door. Here in Sri Rangam, little Gopal, he studied under Prabodhananda Saraswati with great honor and respect. He faithfully served his mother and father. He became the personification of all attractive qualities. People all around, not only Sri Rangam, but this whole district had such high respect for him. When he was a teenager, and then he became a young man, he was so kind and compassionate to every living being. He was so polite and gracious to everyone. He was so deeply learned in the scriptures. He had mastered Sanskrit. He had mastered the various systems of philosophy, and especially he had mastered the science of bhakti. His love for God was so deep. His ecstasy was manifested in everything he did. He was more humble than a blade of grass, but yet so highly realized and learned. Everyone who knew him loved him. Anyone who associated with him just could not give up his association. He was so attractive. And his bodily features were beautiful. Everything about him was exquisite. Gopal Bhattacharya. He served his parents. And he preached the message of pure love of God as Lord Chaitanya taught. And when his mother and father, Venkatabhata and wife, when they were departing for the world from this world, Gopal Bhatta was at their side. They were chanting the holy names in ecstatic affection. remembering the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya as they gave up their bodies. And Venkatabhata and his wife went directly back home, back to Godhead, to the supreme Vaikuntha planet of Goloka Vrindavan. But just before they left, they gave their heartfelt blessings to their son Gopal to renounce this world and go to Vrindavan, which he did. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had such deep love for Gopalpat. After leaving Sri Rangam, he continued his South Indian tour, which in total took about 2 years. After South Indian tour, it took him a couple years before he got permission from his devotees to go to Vrindavan. And then he went to Vrindavan. At least he attempted. In his first attempt, he met Rupan Sanatan Goswami and Ram Kali. Then the Lord spent 2 months in Vrindavan, traveling through the 12 forests in transcendental ecstasy. And then he came back to Jagannath Puri. Years passed. Many years passed. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were there in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya had told them that someday Gopal Bhatta is going to be there. He's coming up from Sri Rangam someday, and you should make him like your own brother. Years passed, and there was no word from Gopal Bhatta. And Lord Chaitanya was thinking about him often. This was his love. Lord Chaitanya had so many confidential associates, so many servants, so many loving devotees, but yet he had such a personal relationship with each and every one of them. One day, he was just contemplating and discussing with his devotees, "I wonder how Rupa and Sanatan are. I haven't heard from them in such a long time. And I wonder how Gopal Bhatta is. I wonder when he's going to go to Vrindavan." And just when he was thinking like this and discussing it with his devotees, a messenger walked in to the room from Vrindavan. "Now, do you know how you sent letters in those days?" There wasn't mailboxes where you just put it in a box and then put stamp. What to speak of this email stuff? To divert from the subject slightly, I'm not against email. I'm not exactly for it either. But from an objective point of view, during Srila Prabhupada's time, all messages were by post. Prabhupada didn't even like telephone so much. Yes, Shamsundar Prabhu? Telegram occasionally. The telegram, you have to go to the telegram office and everything like this. But some new technology came out called telex. Yes? Telex, where you can have a machine in your office or in your house and you can send it off and quite fast. Yes? So one devotee had this brilliant idea that to coordinate communications within ISKCON, we can put telex machines in every ISKCON center, and then we can have very fast communications with each other instead of this mail system, postal. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you have these telex machines in all ISKCON temples, you will simply speak prajalpa. And he said, no, we don't want it. Hare Krishna. Now, in my neutral position about email, if you look at the different Krishna, what are they called, websites? Huh? The vast majority is nothing but prajalpa. Prajalpa and blasphemy. And, I mean, anybody who has a trace of faith of Krishna could lose it all. And people become so obsessed and addicted to this energy of email. It's so entangling. I've talked to people, and I confess, it's happened to me, that you just go for 5 minutes to send a message, and you're ending up for the next 8 hours just... One thing leads to another. All of a sudden, something comes and says, oh, I have to see what if this is really true. And then by the end of the time, you just realize, I've wasted my day. It's a powerful energy. Yes? It's like a spider web catches the fly. What happened? It's a cat. I thought it was a cobra or something. So anyways, Yukta Vairagya means we could use these things in Krishna's service. Prabhupada says that using materialistic things in Krishna's service is like when a thorn gets caught in your foot. In the forest, you take another thorn to get it out. Yes? But you have to be very careful about this. Because if you're not careful, you take one thorn to get the other thorn out, and you end up with two thorns stuck in your foot. And then you take another thorn and say, Yukta Vairagya, Yukta Vairagya. Use everything in Krishna's service, no problem. And then you have three thorns caught in your foot. And after some time, you have 108 thorns caught in your foot. So are we really using it? Or are we being used by it? Hare Krishna. That is the question. Are we using technology to spread Krishna consciousness? Or is technology using us to divert our attention and sap our energy? Hare Krishna. So as far as email goes, be careful. It can be used nicely in Krishna's service, but be careful. My own realization is the mailbox is very, very accommodating and nice place. It's not so passionate. When you get a letter, you put it on your desk, and then a couple days later you read it. And then you think about it for some days, and then you pick up your pen, and you have to really be careful because if you write it wrong, you don't want to look stupid and cross it out, so you have to really write nicely. It takes a lot of thought. And then you fold it, and you put it in an envelope, and then you have to go to a post office and get stamps, and then you don't want to lick those horrible things. So you have to get some water and put the water on it, and then put the stamp on it, and then usually the stamp doesn't stick, so you have to get some glue and put that on the stamp and then put it again, and it starts, and you have to wait till the glue dries because you don't want it sticking to other letters in the mailbox. And then you have to go to a mailbox, and then you mail it, and you send a little prayer with it. But email, you get a message. It's gone. And then you think, what did I just write? And once you send it off, you just press that one button, it's gone. And sometimes you accidentally press the wrong button and it goes to 1,000 people. And anything you send, all the person has to do is just press two or three little buttons and it goes off to the entire world. Where's the secrecy? Yes, whatever you write is just the knowledge of the entire planet. Anybody could tap into it if somebody just presses one button and whoop, your letter goes everywhere. Hare Krishna. Very passionate type of communication. It can be used in Krishna service, but it's a sharp, deadly thorn. So be careful. So back to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just thinking, I haven't heard for so long from Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and I hadn't heard anything about Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Where is he? How is he? And then, in those days, if you wanted to send a letter, you get a palm leaf.
Yes?
And then you get a piece of, like, a metal thing, and you carve the letters in the palm leaf. And then you put a certain type of dye over the palm leaf to make the letters another color. And it's very nice. And then you find someone who's willing to walk 1,000 miles. There's no postal service. You just have to find somebody who's willing to do that for you. Yes? Some friend who has time. Please deliver this message to Lord Chaitanya. Yes, yes, I'll do it, I'll do it. And then the person has to take your message and walk from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, which takes several months. Yes? So there wasn't all that much letters written in those days. So just when Lord Chaitanya was talking to his devotees, I haven't heard from Rupa and Sanatan for so long, at that very second, a messenger comes in from Vrindavan. He says, I have a letter for you from Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Would you like to hear the content of that letter? Rupa and Sanatan Goswami said, everything is going so wonderful in Vrindavan, and we have very wonderful news to tell you that Gopal Bhatta Goswami has come to Vrindavan, and we We are loving friends and brothers with Him in Your service. And we are so delighted, we are ecstatic to have His association. They were praising Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He gave gifts for that messenger to bring back to Vrindavan. He gave special prasad of Jagannath for Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And for Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lord Chaitanya sent, what was it? He sent His own kopan, and He sent the wooden asana that He would sit on as gifts for Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, when He received it, He worshipped them as He worshipped the deity Himself. And we know the story, how He was worshipping the Shalagram Shila. But He was feeling a very deep desire to offer beautiful ornaments to the Lord. So He was praying that the Lord would assume a form that would accept that service. And by His love, the Shalagram Shila transformed into the glorious form of Sri Radha Raman. Rupa and Sanatana came on the day that Radha Raman appeared. And it was Rupa Goswami who named Him Radha Raman. And when they looked at this deity, they all agreed that He has the feet of Madan Mohan, the waist and chest of Gopinath, and the beautiful face of Radha Govindadev. All the three primary deities of Vrindavan had assumed one form as Sri Radha Raman. Gopal Bhatta worshipped Radha Raman as his life and soul. But one day he was sitting doing the puja to Sri Radha Ramanji, and he was feeling very guilty in his heart. He felt that he was betraying Venkata Bhatta, his father's instruction to him. Because his father told him that he should make Lord Chaitanya his worshipable Lord of life. That his life, his soul, his everything should be the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was thinking in his heart of heart that I'm worshipping Krishna, Shamsundar of Vrindavan, but my father has told me that Lord Chaitanya must be my life and soul. And as he was thinking like this, he was crying. And right before his eyes, Radha Raman transformed into the deity of Lord Chaitanya. He saw Radha Raman with a beautiful golden form as the Lord of Navadvip, smiling and glancing upon Gopal. And then again he became Radha Raman. And from that day on, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was completely satisfied because Lord Chaitanya personally revealed to him that there is absolutely no difference between the deity of Radha Raman and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the seed of that beautiful relationship took place here in Sri Rangam. For the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sri Rangam is such a dear and sacred place. As our dear Ramesh Chandra Goswami of Nandagram told us yesterday that the residents of Srirangam consider Gopal Bhatta a South Indian, but for the residents of Vrindavan, he is a Brijabasi brother. This was one of the greatest aspects of the history of Lord Chaitanya's life. His wonderful pilgrimage to Srirangam. And we will continue our narration of Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour in the future, because I received a message that at 8:45 we must end class and kirtan. And because Nityodita Prabhu has come, we must perform kirtan. Sri Ranga Kshetra ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Venkata Bhatta Trimala Bhatta Prabodhananda Saraswati, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami ki jai, Sri Ramanuja Acharya ki jai, Sri Ranganath Swami ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki. Go Premanandi. Tomorrow's program is Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we will meet. For those who want to chant japa together, we will meet. Which place did you like better? Today's place? At the Thousand Pillar, yes, the Thousand Pillar Pavilion near Ramanujacharya's Samadhi Mandir. We will meet there to chant japa together between 6:30. Devotees could go for darshans to their heart's content. And then once again, we will have class here at 10 o'clock. Or we may have a Harinam procession. That will be announced tomorrow. But for now, we only have a few minutes to do Nam Sankirtan here. Everyone, please chant with great feeling and devotion, to express our sincere gratitude. For the blessing of being here together in Srirangam.